Hey, everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. So today, you know, last week we talked about faith a little bit, you know, and I talked a little bit about why we have faith and what does it mean to have faith and that we should really be able to defend our faith, that we can't just say, well, I just believe, right? And then I think episode two, maybe, I talked about happiness. But today, I want to talk a little bit more about that. Like, there's this secret, right? There's this kind of forgotten secret to happiness. And so I want to talk about that a little bit. And, you know, in life, suffering's hard to explain. You know, it's hard to explain because some of it is self-inflicted, right? Some of the self-inflicted suffering. And so how are we supposed to be content in God, right? Content with what's going on in our lives. You know, some of that suffering could be due to, you know, choices that we've made, poor choices that we've made in our life, or, you know, maybe it's just due to apathy or indifference. You know, maybe our suffering is due to our sin. You know, in Psalm 32, it shows us God's blessing for those who are forgiven. And so maybe this is as much about forgiveness and as it is happiness, or forgiveness and happiness as it is about being content with what we have. You know, the Psalms give us this forgotten secret, right? It tells us that sin brings sorrow. But it also confesses that the confession of sin brings forgiveness, and then that forgiveness in turn brings joy. Now, you guys know normally I use the NIV Bible; it's kind of like my go-to. But today I want to use the NASB. And well, look, it's a little bit of a detour, but you'll just follow along with me. I'm sure you probably already know this, but if you don't, there's really three different types of Bible translations. Right? There's the word for word, there's a thought for thought, and then there's a paraphrase translation. And so if we look at the, you know, different translations, every Bible fits into one of these categories. And they're these different translations because sometimes wherever you're at in your life, you need to understand it a different way. When I came to Christ, the only thing I ever knew that there was the King James Version, and I just didn't understand it. It made no sense to me because, look, let's face it, I don't speak King's English, and neither did Christ. But I did understand the NLT version, and the NLT is really a thought-for-thought type of Bible. And as I've progressed in my knowledge, in my study, now I look at a lot of different things. Now, I'm not a paraphrase fan. I'm not a fan. Like, the message is as paraphrased as it gets. I'm not a big fan of the message, but it speaks to people. It's there for a reason. So the NASB is classified as the most word for word translation you can use today, even more word for word than the King James Version, right? And so, look, like I said, a little bit of a detour, but we have to understand some of these things. And if we don't understand these things and why there's different translations of the Bible, we're just going to be confused, you know, because somebody will say, well, you know, you don't read the real Bible, because, you know, I've had people tell me that, well, you don't read the King James Version, so it's not the real Bible. Well, that doesn't make sense to me if they were both translated from the Hebrew and Greek. What do you mean? Anyway, back to Psalms. So I'm going to read Psalm 32, and then, like always, you know, we're going to unpack it a little bit. So Psalm 32 starts with, "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of the summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide, I said. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you in my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise they will not come near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, your righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. So, we'll break this psalm down just a little bit. As we look at the first two verses, we see the joy of forgiveness, right? Blessed is one of those religious words, right, that it's hard to translate sometimes into practical terms. And, you know, if you look at the Greek, it's makarios. And that Greek word means, it really means happy, right? That's the closest we can come to the translation in kind of today's world is happy. So the psalmist says that the blessed person is the one who understands forgiveness. So the happy person. You know, we can't understand the reality of forgiveness if we don't understand the concept of sin. And that's important to us, right? What does that look like? So in this psalm, David uses three words to describe sin. And again, I'm using the NASB version for this. So if you want to go look at different versions, please do so. But those three words that he uses, the first word is transgressions. And to understand what it really means is a transgression, what that is it's really a rebellion against God. Right? That's, you know, my transgressions. It's something I'm doing that's just not of God. And then he talks about sin, right? And as simply as it is, sin is missing the mark, right? It's falling short of the standard or doing something wrong, right? Doing something against God, right? Same with transgression. It's a rebellion. And then we look at the word iniquity, right? He used that at the very beginning there in the first two verses. And iniquity is like deceit. It's an interchangeable word for sin, right? If you go look it up, that's really what it means. It's treachery or deceit. But the psalmist was happy, right? Blessed, happy, makarios, because his transgression was forgiven. Like it was taken away. His sin was covered. It was covered or concealed, right? That's what covered means. It's hidden. There's no, God doesn't see that sin anymore because it's covered. So when we look at some of these words, right, the Lord, where it says the Lord does not impute iniquity, this is really like a reckoning to an account, like an accounting term. It's not counted against us. You know, it's like if you're speeding and you get pulled over, you know, the officer may say, oh, it's, you know, it's not going to go on your record, or they may say, look, I'm going to give you a warning so that it doesn't go on your record. That's covered or hidden, right? So when we take these together, we have this real comprehensive nature of sin and the nature, a comprehensive nature of God's forgiveness, right? That is the reason for joy. That is the reason that we can be content with God, right? We can be joyful. And then if we look at verse, 3 and 4, we see this unconfessed sin that causes misery, right? It's a shift. You know, David is giving us this personal illustration about the power of unconfessed sin, right? That when it's kept silent and when you're unwilling to confess the sin, your body wastes away. Right? My body wasted away and God dealt with me so severely that my vitality was drained like a man suffering in the summer heat. I mean, think about a time in the summer heat that you were just, it was horrible. It was hard to breathe. We just got back from Arizona and it was at times beautiful because it's only like 75 degrees. But picture yourself in Arizona when it's dry, there's no humidity, and it's 120 degrees. That makes it hard to breathe. That's this oppressive heat. And that's what it's like with unconfessed sins. They hunt you down. They oppress you. They keep you awake at night. You don't got to confess them to the world. Just confess them to God. And then we go to verse 5, right? In verse 5, David, he uses the same words that he did in verses 1 and 2. But this is saying, you know, that he had learned to acknowledge his sin, to expose it to the Lord, to confess his transgressions, right? So verse 5 is really about confession and repentance and what that looks like. And then we go into verse 6 and 7, and he's going to pass this lesson that he learned on to us, right? It's a teaching moment, an instruction. He calls on us to turn to God just like he did. That we can find relief in God, that we can be protected, that we can be content with the Lord. That if we turn to God, that we can have this release, this relief. He depicts God's protection in three ways, right? He talks about it in these verses, right? You know, he said, you know, God's protection is like a hiding place. It's preservation from trouble, right? And it's surrounded by songs of deliverance. And then we move to verses 8 through 10, right? So we did 6 through 7, now we're 8 through 10. And he shifts gears, right? He shifts gears and he starts warning us not to be like that horse and mule, right? Not to be like that horse that requires the bit and bridle. Right, so this is the wisdom of God. Those who don't want God, who don't care about God, they choose the hard way. They choose the way of sin. He's saying, don't do that. This is my warning to you. And then in verse 11, you know, he says, it's like the one who groaned, right? The one who complained under the weight of the sin, they now rejoice. That's hard to understand, I think, for a lot of people. I know it was hard to understand for me. You know, because I had all this struggle, all this pain, all this fear on my back from sin. And now, you know, David's saying, just rejoice, right? This should be your response. Shout, rejoice and shout for joy. You see, through our life, we have this, I think we have this view of repentance that's inaccurate. And maybe it comes from other religions, right? You know, and if you just look as far back as you can, and then look, I've studied some, I'm not some expert, right? But, you know, if you look back at repentance and you say, you know, like in the Catholic Church, they say, you know, say so many Hail Marys or Our Fathers or light this many candles or do whatever they tell you to do, right? That's why I say we have a really weird view of repentance. And maybe it's deficient, but repentance is not penance. It's not self-punishment. It's not it's not reparations, right? You don't repent by paying something. True repentance involves remorse, right? It involves regret. It involves grief and guilt. If you don't feel that guilt, if you don't feel that remorse, if you don't feel that regret, it's not true repentance. It is a turning, right? When you repent, you're making a choice to change. You're making a choice to turn away from your sin. And you got to work at it every day. I think maybe one of the hardest things for people to understand is that God forgives us, right? But forgiveness doesn't mean that the consequences of the sins we commit is removed, right? There may still be consequences to our sin, but God forgives us anyways, right? So look, God forgives sins. Forgiveness is the removal of sin. The debt, it's canceled. All the debt of sin is gone. It's impossible for us to pay off that debt. It's forgiven in Christ's work. You know, when Christ died on the cross, that's the debt we paid. We can be sure of that. It doesn't remove the consequences. And when we understand forgiveness truly, we can be thankful in that. You know, this psalm is a thankful message, right? It's a thankful message about joy. It's a thankful message about having joy and forgiveness. It's a thankful message in happiness. And to me, it's a thankful message in like, how can I be content in the Lord? And there's tons of scriptures about being content in the Lord, right? If you just look up in a concordance the word content, you're going to find tons of stuff. But maybe sometimes you got to find that in a scripture that or a psalm or some verses that maybe you wouldn't normally find it. And that's how the Bible works. Like sometimes I read something and I maybe just read it yesterday, but it says something totally different to me. And that's because I'm hearing what God wants me to hear when I want him to hear, when he wants me to hear it. And, you know, I guess the thing to think about is the only real happiness is forgiveness from sin. Right? If you can't have forgiveness, where's your joy? Can there be any joy? I don't think there's any if you don't have forgiveness. If we continue to live in sin, we continue to live in grief, right? If we continue to live in sin, we lose joy. And the only way to be forgiven is through Christ. Everything else is artificial. Everything else is just to dull the pain. My wife says this, you know, every once in a while, it's just people numbing out. That's the same thing as dulling the pain, right? Numbing out. Everything is artificial. The only real happiness is forgiveness through Christ. So as I try to wrap this up and move on, right? We have to remember that sin brings sorrow, but confession brings forgiveness, and forgiveness brings joy. You know, if I look at my life of all of the struggles I've had, a lot of them are due to sin. And I'll bet you if you look at your life, you'd say the same thing. So why not admit to God what he already knows? I'm not saying you got to admit it to the world. I'm just saying admit it to God. Ask him for forgiveness. Confess to him. Come to the cross. Why not come to the cross of Christ and be forgiven? It'd be the best day of your life. It was the best day of mine. Hey, everybody, this is Rick with the Nomad Pastor Podcast. I just want to say thanks again for listening to this. I know you got tons of options, and hopefully you get out of this as much as I get into putting into it. I learn more and more every day as I study to prepare for these, and it makes me look at Scripture in fresh eyes. You know, if you like it, subscribe to whatever your podcast platform of choice is. If you like, share it with your friends. Maybe it could help somebody else. Again, this is Rick, and I just want you to have a blessed week. Thanks.